Last night, New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani appeared on the season premiere of Saturday Night Live.
Having our city's institutions up and running sends a message that New York City is open for business. Saturday Night Live is one of our great New York City institutions, and that's why it's important for you to do your show tonight.
Can we be funny?
Why start now?
After the tragedy, comedy comes back, and coming up on Weekend Edition from NPR News, being funny again. Stay with us.
I'm Ann Bozell with these headlines. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says there's no reason to believe a Taliban statement that it has suspected terrorist Osama bin Laden under its control. The Taliban's ambassador to Pakistan made that assertion today. A convoy carrying 280 tons of wheat is headed for Afghanistan's capital city from neighboring Pakistan. It's one of three huge convoys bringing food, medicine, and other supplies into the country. UN aid workers hope to head off widespread starvation. And San Francisco's Barry Bonds has one homer to go to tie the all-time record and two to break it. Bonds slammed his 69th homer yesterday as he closes in on Mark McGwire's record of 70 home runs in a single season. I'm Ann Bozell, NPR News in Washington.
United Nations cargo planes have begun to arrive in Pakistan with emergency food supplies to help the Afghani people. The buildup of international aid is in anticipation of a mass influx of refugees from neighboring Afghanistan in the event of U.S. military action. As NPR's Rob Gifford reports from Quetta, Pakistan, many refugees who have already crossed the border are in desperate shape.
The human cost of the political standoff with Afghanistan can be clearly seen at Khauzabad refugee camp on the outskirts of Quetta. It's here 5 days ago that Afghan refugee Noor Bibi arrived with what was left of her family. She'd traveled 8 days from western Afghanistan to reach this city in southern Pakistan, fleeing both drought and the threat of U.S. airstrikes.
I lost two of my daughters on the way, she says. One died of sickness, the other was hit by a horse cart just after we crossed the border. We brought their bodies here and we buried them beside the refugee camp. Wrapped in a threadbare shawl, she sits with her arm protectively around her one remaining 7-year-old daughter. The worries on her face make her look decades older than her 28 years. Outside her basic mud hut, a man walks up with what appears to be a bundle of rags in his arms. The bundle cries out and the cloth falls away to reveal the skeletal face of a 1-year-old baby boy. The image seems to belong in Somalia or Ethiopia, where famine regularly reduces children to such a state. The boy's skin hangs loose off the protruding bones of his legs. We arrived 9 days ago, says his father, Adam Khan. Everyone was leaving because of drought and fear of the U.S. attacks. I sold my cow and 2 goats in order to pay for the journey. At least here I can work as a laborer to buy bread, he says. We had nothing in Afghanistan. In its most recent figures on child mortality 3 years ago, the UNHCR said 1 in 4 children in Afghanistan died before the age of 5. Rupert Colville of UNHCR in Quetta says the situation now is even worse.
We're looking at a disaster of almost unimaginable magnitude. The potential for an absolutely mega catastrophe is all too real. There are already 1 million people displaced inside the country, inside Afghanistan, before the events of the last 2 weeks. On top of that, the World Food Program were feeding another between 2 and 3 million. On top of that, there were perhaps another 1, 2, 3 million very vulnerable people living, just surviving in their home areas, but without any international aid at all.
Colville says all the aid agencies have now been forced out of Afghanistan, but neither Pakistan nor Iran nor the three Central Asian states to the north have opened their borders to the Afghan refugees, although some have crept across the porous mountain frontier. Back in the Hauzabad refugee camp, a visiting foreigner manages to raise a laugh from a little girl. The giggle sounds strange amid the desperate conditions of the camp. This is not a place of laughter. It's not even a place of tears. People are too exhausted even to cry.
The Islami Noor Dawlato.
52-year-old Jan Khan says he knows a solution: for all the Muslim countries to get together and persuade the Taliban to hand over Osama bin Laden for trial in another Muslim country. He reaches out his hand, a pained look in his eye. We don't care about politics, he says. We're poor people. Just don't destroy our country for the sake of getting one man. Rob Gifford, NPR News, in Quetta, southern Pakistan.